Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Spitballin' Podcast, a Texas Rangers podcast. My name is Ben Rogers, and I'm joined by my close personal buddy, Jamie Newberg, ready to talk a little Texas Rangers baseball as we hard charge towards October. A couple things to get into, and let's jump right in with Shin-Soo Choo. I have a feeling that Shin-Soo Choo is going to return for October. And if Choo does return for October, I don't know how much fine-tuning he'll be able to squeeze in between, you know, the moment he's ready and the moment that the, you know, the postseason begins. Obviously, they'll get him out to Arizona and try to get him fine-tuned, but I think regardless, Shin-Soo Choo is such a special player that you go ahead and if he's ready to go and can play, you have him in the lineup in October. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, you definitely have him on the roster. And, you know, the tricky thing about mid-September on is the minor leagues are done. And so you can't get him out on a rehab assignment to see, you know, upper-level live pitching and get into a rhythm that way. So Fall Instructional League is going on in Surprise, and you got a bunch of 16, 18, maybe some 20-year-olds. It's not the same, but at least it is live pitching and live action and not just hitting in a cage or off a tee. And so at some point, Choo will go out there, and you're absolutely right. I mean, he really was as close to anybody as carrying the offense last year in the second half going into the playoffs. He was reaching base, I don't know, 42, 44% of the time. It was crazy. And with extra base power, good at bats, you know, taking pitchers to six, seven, eight pitches early in the game, stretching things out. And that's, you know, we've seen some of that with Beltran since he's gotten here, a little bit with Luke Roy. Even Gomez has shown a proclivity for stretching at bats out, which is crazy. If you remember the Gomez that, you know, Texas had faced the last 2 years with Houston, who would, you know, end up on his butt with his helmet off on three pitches, and he's working counts. But Choo is the master at that as far as, you know, Rangers players are concerned. And you absolutely put him on the roster if he's healthy. And whether he plays every day, that just may be a function of, you know, how he looks. You know, I'm sure he'll be in the lineup day one, but you know, if he looks like he's still ironing the kinks out and so forth, you can't take a chance to let a player just work that out in a playoff setting. So if he doesn't look right away like his old self, it may be that he ends up, you know, games two and three coming in off the bench to hit late in the game, but they certainly would like to have him back into a rhythm, physically well, mentally sharp, ready to go, because he does get the lineup a look that I don't want to say it lacks without him, but it certainly has a much better look with him.
So let's say that Shin-Soo Choo returns for October, and let's go ahead and say that Jeremy Jeffress is back and is on the roster in October. For the sake of this hypothetical discussion, let's come up with a little roster construction here. You know, in the bullpen, you're going to have Dyson and Diekman and Bush and Kella and Barnett and Jeffress and Sheppers and Claudio. Do we agree on all those guys?
Yeah, I don't think we're forgetting anybody. It's I will say this, that until the last few days as we record this, I had some questions in my head on Kella. You know, the way he'd been going, especially with the way Sheppers had come on, and if Jeffress was going to come back and have a chance to pitch in a few games before the playoffs, and if he was sharp, you know, Kella just wasn't throwing strikes, but he seems like he might have turned a corner there. He's got the command of the fastball back, which sets everything else up. So I do think Kella is in, but I think he did need a couple of these last good outings to solidify his spot. So I think the bullpen is fairly well set. The question mark might be whether you go with Holland or Griffin in a long man setting. And as we record this, Holland's about to face the Angels of finale of that series. And, you know, he could be lights out and be right in the picture for fourth starter. But the way Perez has gone right now, I think he's got the edge there. I think Griffin's probably out of the mix for the rotation for the playoffs. But, you know, Griffin will have another chance or two to prove that he can throw strikes. Evidently, Tuesday night when he really struggled, it wasn't reported until after the game that he was sick. So, you know, maybe some of that can be chalked up to just not feeling well and pitching in 95-degree heat. But, you know, if, you know, when Griffin is sharp, he's almost an ideal long man. If this rotation had been healthy all year, that might have been Griffin's role. A guy that, you know, when a starter gets into trouble, he can give you three innings early in the game, which has sort of fallen to Claudio's sense. But if Griffin is sharp, that's a guy that's useful in a bullpen in a playoff setting.
Okay, so before we even start about adding Holland or Griffin, we're at Cole, Ubi, Colby, Perez, and the eight relievers I mentioned. So that's 12. If you add a long man, that's 13. And how does that impact the bench on the other side?
Yeah, well, that just leaves you three bench roles. You know, if you're going to go with 12 hitters, and you know, you had to figure that Profar is in there because you got to have somebody who can play shortstop, and obviously he can play a whole bunch of different things. You need a second catcher, so that's Chirinos, and then you know you got some options there as what you do, especially if Chu's healthy. You know, then between Chu, Mazzara, and Beltran, one of those guys sits most likely. You know, unless you're going to try to work Mazzara into the left field mix, but the way Gomez is going, you may not want to take him out of the lineup, especially with the defense he provides. So that might be your third guy on the bench right there, which, you know, knocks out a guy like Rua, who gives you versatility and a right-handed bat off the bench. You know, it's a good problem to have that the team appears to be getting everybody back right at the right time in terms of health and, you know, getting in Jefferson's case, not health, but, you know, being reinstated. You know, does it knock a guy like DeShields out of the picture? Certain situations, you'd certainly like to have a guy with that sort of, you know, run tool on the bench late in the playoff game. So they're going to have some decisions to make. There's going to be probably a player or two left off the ALDS roster that, you know, if situations were different, would be almost a lock to join the club. And, of course, they can shift gears when you get to the ALCS. You can rearrange the roster, mm-hmm. you know, depending on who the opponent is if they advance. But, yeah, they're going to have some decisions to make as far as how deep they want the pitching staff to be, because it could cost the bench a guy that, you know, could be useful in any given scenario.
Yeah, that's interesting. So if Jeffress comes back and if Chu comes back, it looks like Holland or Griffin, one of the two, or DeShields or Rua could be on the outside looking in. So it'll be interesting to watch. And obviously, like you said, at the time we're recording this, Derek Holland still has some work to be done out on the field and could make a case for himself or not moving forward. What about as far as the opponent? You know, obviously there's multiple teams in play. The Rangers could finish first or third. They could play Toronto, Baltimore, Seattle, Houston, Boston, or Cleveland. Are there any of those teams that you'd like to avoid? Are there any of those teams you would hope that the Rangers would be matched up against in the first round?
You know, I mean, that's a question that 6 years ago, when this team was just getting back into playoff contention, I would have had strong opinions about. But having been to two World Series and been to the playoffs really all years but one since then, I'm sort of the mindset, you know, just bring it on. You're going to have to go through two very good baseball teams and come out on top to get to the World Series. And so it's almost as if, you know, you don't back into a World Series. And so I'm not like sitting there saying, man, I hope we can avoid this team, or I hope we get this team in the first round. You know, right now, as crazy as it may sound, the team I kind of don't want to face is Houston, which is almost absurd to say, because this team has just rolled right over Houston for years. I mean, you can tell it's not just a situation where one team outmatches the other. It's in their heads. It's in the Astros' heads. But that team still scares me. I watch the Astros a bunch when their game times are different from the Rangers' game times. I watch them, and when they're not playing Texas, that is a really good team, and they scare me probably as much as anybody in the American League in a short series. I'd just assume avoid them. But going back to it, you know what I said at first, I don't really care that much who we play, because I think, truthfully, most teams out there that are headed toward the playoffs or fighting for a playoff spot don't want to face Texas, because, you know, if Hamels and Darvish are on, and at the moment, maybe that's a question, but if they get things locked back in and are pitching at their, you know, capability, with as deep as this bullpen is, if it's going well, they got to get Diekman, you know, straightened out for sure. But if the pitching staff is clicking a little bit, the lineup is a tough one to face. You know, top to bottom, you got guys in the bottom third that can create offense. Maybe not at the level of the two World Series teams a few years back when they had Napoli and Cruz batting, you know, toward the bottom. But it's a different kind of look. You got guys that, that work counts, get on base, can run a little bit, and there's pop up and down the lineup. And I think Texas right now is probably the team that, that if you had to ask American League, you know, scouts, front offices, who do you not want to face, it's probably the Rangers.
Yeah, I think you're right. And especially if we're talking about Chu coming back and then having to sit down either Gomez or Mazzara. I mean, you're talking if Mazzara's coming off your bench, a 20 home run guy off your bench, that'd be really impressive. I mean, that shows immense depth. There is a team that I'm a little bit worried about, and this is probably going to unnerve you to hear me say this, or maybe you've heard me say it before, but I am a little bit worried about facing Toronto, and just because of the emotion involved in this, because of the punch, because of what happened last postseason, because of how loud it can get in that stadium. I mean, that stadium, that rattled Elvis. Elvis is not a rookie. He's not a young player. It rattled Elvis. It rattled several players. And I would, you know, it's not as if I think the Rangers are in huge trouble if they have to face Toronto, because to your point, I feel like you'll go as far as the top of your rotation takes you. And with Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels, the Rangers are as good up top as anybody. But I would just like to avoid that, you know, because the postseason, it's all about momentum. And to your other point earlier, you just get in and then bring it. You just get in and see what happens. But I would like to avoid any potential momentum that a team could gain against the Rangers. And I just think that would be playing in a frenzied environment. I would like to avoid Toronto personally.
Man, it would be awesome theater, though. It would be, I'm sure the league would still make all the games, you know, 12 noon starts on weekdays because it's not your top markets, media markets. But man, you know, you say Elvis got rattled, and yes, he did, and he had the worst inning of his life. And I was worried that could hamper 2016 Elvis Andrus, and he's come out and had his best year. And I'd like to think that because he was able to bounce back from that and do what he's done for the last 6 months, then maybe that gives him the confidence where he's almost thinking in his head, you know what, I want Toronto. I want a chance to, you know, undo what happened last year and bring it on. I think this team sort of has a bring it attitude. And you know, I'm not saying, man, I hope we get Toronto. They're scary. That offense is scary. You know, Dyson has a little bad history there with what Bautista did to him. And, you know, yeah, it would be, you'd be up against it. But again, that's playoff baseball. And, you know, Boston, the way they're playing right now is going to be a tough draw. And, you know, if you draw Baltimore somehow, that team just hits the ball out of the park with just stupid regularity. And everybody, any possible opponent is going to be, you know, a little bit frightening, but you know what? Just, you know, bring it on. I'm not that worried about the whole Toronto scene. The Rangers having been through just the devastation of being up 2-0 in a five-game series, needing to win 1-3 and failing to do that, you know, you don't think that's going to be stuck in their head and almost like bulletin board material mentally and internally. And I think Toronto might be, you know, a team that they almost want to face to just sort of get back over that hump and sort of, you know, give the team another shot at the Blue Jays and see what happens.
So you're saying if you think there might be a monster under the bed, go ahead and get up and Duke's up, ready to fight that monster, not pull the sheets over your head?
Hey, if Jeff Banister is my manager and this team sort of has that attitude with, you know, Adrian Beltre, you know, the sheriff in the clubhouse, I don't think they're afraid of any monster at all. I think they're like, you know what, let's teach the monster a thing or two.
Man, you may be onto something. Look, I would like to avoid it personally, but it would be delicious. I can't imagine the anticipation anytime Rougned Odor was up in this game, or yeah, that would just in that series, that would be phenomenal. Okay, we got it. Before we get out of here, an important milestone. Nomar Mazzara, the third Ranger in team history to have 20 plus home runs in his 21 or younger age seasons, joining Ruben Sierra, who had 30 in 1987, and Juan Gonzalez, who had 27 in 1991. Pretty select company for the youngster.
Fair company. And, you know, there's Sierra, I would say, probably had a little bit of a disappointing career because it, the way it looked like he was heading, you know, never got to the those ultimate heights. He got a little bit too bulked up and lost some of his game and, you know, the things that made him special when he was 20, 21 years old. I would say Gonzalez probably, you know, turned out as scouts and coaches hoped he would. You know, he had a little bit of, you know, some adversity late in his career, but the way he played in the playoffs, and I think, you know, you give me Juan Gonzalez's career right now from Mazzara, and they're slightly different players, but you know, you, like you said, that's heady company right now, and the way Mazzara's wired in terms of his character and makeup at that, especially at his age, he's a player that, you know, I think that it's fair to say that you can have some confidence that whatever his ceiling is, he's got a pretty good chance to reach it.
You know, he started off red hot. It was unbelievable, obviously, and cooled since. Now, he started hitting the ball out of the park a little bit here of late, but there was a stretch of about 85 games where he was hitting close to 230. Did the league watch what he did early on and catch up and make adjustments, and he's just struggled as a 21-year-old to try to adjust back? Or what do you make of the way his season started off so hot and has kind of cooled off since?
Well, I think it's two things, and both of them are very unsurprising. Number one, yeah, the league adjusted to him, and that happens with any rookie, any young player. You know, it's a game of adjustments, and scouting is at a level that it's never been at before, because on, you know, on top of, you know, just having good people with you know, putting eyes on kids when they're in, you know, double A up, and especially in the big leagues, you now have all kinds of metrics in terms of where you're going to position guys defensively, you know, and where the hot zones are in a guy's strike zone. It's not just an eyeball test anymore. So yeah, the league adjusted to him, and then, you know, he had the responsibility to adjust to the adjustments, and that's true of any player. And a very young player, it often causes struggles either, you know, late in the first year or sometimes the entire second year. You know, we saw with Delino DeShields. That's one thing. The second thing is, he's never played this much. You know, we started at the top of this podcast talking about, in Chu's case, the minor league season is over. It ends about a month before the big league season. And so you've got a guy now who's in uncharted territory in terms of how many games he's played. And that doesn't, you know, excuse the slump at midseason. You know, it wasn't like he was gassed in June or July in terms of, you know, how many at-bats he'd gotten. But it is a long season, and it's a grind. And obviously it's at a pressure and intensity level that he's never dealt with. You combine those two things, you know, the adjustments and experiencing something like this for the very first time, you can expect there was going to be a little bit of a fallback at some point. The good news is, yeah, he had about a half a season of struggles. Seems to be coming out of it a little bit. You know, it's not like he's not hitting right now like he did in April and May. You know, he's not, you know, hitting 330 and getting on base 400. But, you know, he's getting into a few baseballs and hitting them 430 feet. There have been a few times where he's gone opposite field and squared up, which you saw a lot early in the season. So he doesn't seem to be as lost as he might have a month ago, which is obviously, it's, you know, it's good news as you're heading into the playoffs. He's somebody that you can start to count on a little bit more than maybe we would have thought of, you know, back in August.
Boy, I can't wait. All right, man. Look, that's a lot of good topics for this week's Spitballin' podcast. We are hard charging towards October baseball, getting fired up. It is going to be a fun, fun ride. All right, for Jamie Newberg, I'm Ben Rogers. Thanks once again for listening to the Spitballin' podcast, a Texas Rangers podcast. If you enjoyed it, hopefully you'll send out the link and share it with your friends and subscribe. We sure do appreciate it. All right, until next time, happy baseball, everybody.